Well, good morning, church, and welcome back to this week's message. We are gathering, thank you, boys. We are gathering yet again for an online moment of worship and looking to God's Word together. And I want to start this morning with a song to prepare our hearts to hear God's Word as we seek Him together. It is a familiar hymn for many of you. It's Come Thou Fount. And so I'm going to sing three verses of this song. And wherever you are on this beautiful morning, sing along, hum along, but let's take this moment to truly just look to the Lord and to ask Him to prepare our hearts as we worship together, as we look to God's Word. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above. Here's my heart, here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. I love that hymn. I love that hymn for many reasons. I love it that it's filled with words of longing to be with the Lord. It's filled with words that express an incredible gratefulness and thankfulness for God's grace. I love when it says, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Just think about those words this morning. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Where would we be today if not for the incredible and amazing grace of God? God's grace continues to daily uphold us, sustain us, and fill us. Let's take this moment now to look to the Lord in prayer before we open God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this new day. God, we just, as we come to You, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your love and for Your forgiveness. God, we thank You for Your grace, and we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You that today, even though we cannot yet gather together physically, we can still gather in our homes and worship You. Lord, we pray that You would lead us today. Bring healing, we pray, to those who are sick, to those that are suffering. Lord, we pray that You'd also help us by the power of Your Spirit. Help us to be patient. Help us to be kind. Help us to continue to trust in You in all of our ways. Lord, we also ask for Your forgiveness. Lord, for when we have sinned in our anger, or perhaps, Lord, when we have fallen into temptation, Lord, forgive us, we pray. Lord, we do need You each and every day. And so, Lord, we humbly come before You. Lord, as we look to Your Word, we pray and ask, Holy Spirit, Please help us to understand what we read and grant us the strength to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we open God's Word this morning, I do want to encourage you to do something this week if you haven't yet done it. It's something that, well, in the times that we're living in, it's something that you could do as a ministry of prayer to not only your church family, but to people in our community, anyone really that God puts on your heart. And it's called a drive-by prayer. Have you done that yet? Have you done a drive-by prayer with someone in your house or just by yourself? And so what I would like you to do with your family or on your own, just think about five different families in our church or in our community and drive by their home and pray for them from your car. And you can do this with other people as well. But let's continue in our ministry of prayer to one another. And drive-by prayers is one way to do that. I encourage you to do that this week. Now, our passage this morning is from the book of James. So please open your Bibles to James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. I'm going to be reading James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning we are continuing in our series from the book of James. James is writing to believers, to early Christians, and to us. And he's writing a lot about the practical Christian life. Again, what I love about the book of James is that it is a how-to book. Now, it's also a timely book for the church today and for every believer as we seek to live out a faith that is genuine, that is real. In these uncertain times, our world is looking for answers and people are searching for hope. They're searching for peace. They're searching for understanding. And so the Christian witness, not just in Campbellford, but across this land, is needed more than ever. Do you realize yourself that your life and how you live your life matters? It matters to the people that live with you, and it matters to the people that live around you. And so the church, which is called to be a light in this dark world, has a calling from God to go out into this world and to make a difference because of Jesus Christ. Now, already in the first two chapters, James has talked a lot about how Christians are to respond and live according to the Word of God, patterning their lives after Christ in so many different areas. So he's already touched upon in the first two chapters, for instance, how we face trials and how we overcome temptation. He's also talked about how to be a good listener, which is something that we are constantly needing to learn about, but then also how to be a gentle caregiver. James has talked about how we show our faith through good deeds, and at the beginning of chapter 3, he talks a lot about taming the tongue, how we are to keep guard over what we say and how we say it. And so already James has talked about a lot of practical things important to the Christian life and how we are to reflect Christ in our words and in our actions and in our deeds. Now today's passage is on something totally different. It's on wisdom. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of wisdom or someone who is wise? there is a story of a small store owner who was being pressured to sell his store to the owners of a large department store who had bought every other building on the block except his. Now, frustrated by this man's refusal to sell his small store, they eventually opened their huge store on either side of this small store owner. And they put a big banner running from one side to the other, proclaiming in huge letters, "Grand Opening." Now, feeling equally frustrated, the small store owner did finally outsmart the large department store. Below the grand opening sign, across the front of his small store, the man put up a small banner over his door which read, "Main Entrance." Now, that's a wise guy. He outsmarted that large department store, and I get a kick out of that, just how he used some wisdom to outsmart his competitors. Now, we all seek after wisdom. We all seek after wisdom. Every day we have a need for wisdom because we make thousands of decisions every day, from the moment we wake up, deciding to get up and go, to the moment we close our eyes at the end of the night, at the end of the day. Now, when God asked Solomon what he wanted, and he could have asked for anything. What did Solomon, if you remember, what did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. He asked to be wise. Solomon could have asked for anything, yet he asked for wisdom. He knew the value, the importance of wisdom in his life. But what is wisdom? Now, there are many Bible verses that talk about wisdom, and I want to start with probably the most important one, and that's Proverbs 9, verse 10. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 9, where it says, here we go. Proverbs 9, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." What an important verse when you ask yourself the question, what is wisdom? Where does wisdom begin? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And according to Solomon, King Solomon, who wrote these words, reverencing God, acknowledging God and who he is the beginning of wisdom. So where does wisdom, true wisdom, begin? It begins with God. Now, Charles Stanley defines wisdom as this: seeing through God's viewpoint and responding to his viewpoint with the Word of God. Again, here's a definition of wisdom. It's seeing things through God's viewpoint and responding to his viewpoint with the Word of God. Now, wisdom is not an emotion. You don't sit around and wait to feel wise. Wisdom also isn't knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. And here's an example of what I mean, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put them in a fruit salad. They just aren't sweet enough. Now, wisdom is shown by the way we live. It is evident in how we live out our lives every day. Wisdom is about applying the truth, God's word, God's truth, to life. Now, the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. And when was the last time you said to yourself or to someone else, that wasn't very smart? Or you used words such as, that was a very foolish thing that I did or that you did. Okay? So the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. Now, this is a true story. Two burglars decided to come up with a do-it-yourself disguise and were on their way to break into a home and to steal some items. Now, both Matthew McNally and Joey Miller, these are their names, they scribbled on their faces with a black permanent marker before breaking into this apartment. This is a true story. They actually tried to do this. Now, the police eventually caught up to them not long after, pulled them over, and their faces, of course, said it all. And apparently, this less-than-dynamic duo had been under the influence of alcohol during this whole setup. And so what lesson did they learn? Don't drink and draw. How foolish. Now, are you someone that is wise? Are you someone that is foolish? Do you want to be someone that is wise? Now, we can thank the Lord that we find direction in His Word that helps us to know the difference. All throughout the Bible, God has revealed to us examples of men and women who were wise and men and women who were foolish. Here's some examples. Now, it was not wise right from the beginning in Genesis for Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Cain did not use wisdom when he killed his brother Abel. Joseph's brothers did not use wisdom when they sold him into slavery and then went back and lied to their father about what happened to him. David did not use wisdom when he had Uriah killed. And Jonah was not being very wise when he thought that he could flee from God when God told him to go to Nineveh to preach to the people there a message of repentance. And Peter, well, he was not very wise when he cut off that man's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to arrest Jesus. So we have, even in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, many examples of men and women who were not very wise, that were foolish, and we can learn from them. But you know what? God has also filled Scriptures with men and women who were wise in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham made a wise decision when he obeyed God and he left his homeland to start a new nation. Joseph was very wise when he forgave his brothers in Egypt and gave them food. Rahab was very wise when she hid the spies and helped them escape in Jericho, putting her trust in God. And Mary in the New Testament shows us wisdom when she chose to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him. Many examples of wisdom. And I encourage you, even today, with someone in your family, talk more about examples in the Bible where we see godly wisdom used, but then also where we see foolishness used and what we can learn from those lives. Now, if you open back with me to your Bibles, we're going to look at our passage in James, because James teaches us about wisdom today in our passage. Now, in verse 13, James begins with a question. And that question is, who is wise and understanding among you? I love how he begins this next section of chapter 3 with a question. He's wanting to make his audience think about the power of wisdom. And I'm sure after they read this letter, his audience, and they started to look around in the room where it was read, looking at each other, thinking, okay, who is the wisest among us? Maybe some thought they were the wisest. So I wonder what they would have said, and who would they have said? And how would you answer that question as well? Who in your life would you consider to be wise and understanding? Now, when I thought about that question, I thought about the godly men and women that the Lord has put in my life that has helped me to get where I am today. I also thought of people who have more experience in pastoral ministry, for instance, in what I do for a living, and how I look to them for guidance because they have been doing this longer than me. You know, often the wisest people around us are the ones who are in their senior years, those who have had more years of experience. They've had more practice at life, and they have walked longer with the Lord than some of us. But then again, age and experience does not always equal wisdom. Perhaps you know of people that are older than you, and you look at how they're living their lives, and you never want to be like that, okay? And so sometimes age and experience does not equal wisdom. And the same goes with education. Even you might have gone to school for 10 years, yet that doesn't mean you are wise in the eyes of the Lord. It also goes along with looks, where you might live, the car you might drive, what you might eat, your career, what you do for a living. All these things do not determine if you are wise or not according to the Lord. As I said earlier, where does true wisdom come from? It comes from acknowledging God and fearing Him. Wisdom comes from God, from God's Word. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit as we walk with Him daily and live a life of surrender to Him. Now, in verse 13, James teaches that wisdom and understanding are shown in our deeds. And that's important to notice. Because when you think about wisdom, and whether you're wise or not, you just have to start reflecting on your life. Look back at the decisions that you've made this past week. Would they reflect a godly wisdom or an earthly wisdom? Now, our lifestyle choices do reflect our wisdom. As James is saying, what do your deeds, what do your words and actions say about the wisdom that you practice? Is it a wisdom from God, or is it a wisdom from the world? Now, to help us grasp even further the understanding of wisdom, in verses 15 and verse 17, James teaches two types of wisdom. Heavenly wisdom, wisdom from above, and earthly wisdom, wisdom from below. Your life will either reflect one or the other. So let's learn about these two types of wisdom. First of all, what is heavenly wisdom? And how does James characterize wisdom from above? And this is the wisdom that God wants to fill us with and God wants us to walk in. Now, in verse 13, we learn that wisdom from heaven leads to humility. Humility. Consider it this way. Humility, being humble, is a fruit of godly wisdom. Now, people who are proud, people who think they are better than others, do not possess heavenly wisdom. However, people of true humility are people who know that they are nothing without God. They also are quick to give God glory and all the glory for their successes. People of true humility don't think of themselves more highly than they ought. And people of true humility are not quick to display their knowledge or give other people advice they do not want. Now, James teaches us more about heavenly wisdom later in verse 17 to 18, as I read earlier. Look at those verses. Now, in verse 17, James teaches that wisdom from above, God's kind of wisdom, is always filled with good fruit. And he says in verse 17, there are a number of words, number of fruit of godly wisdom. Let me read to you again. Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. There's almost like seven words, seven fruits of heavenly wisdom. Now, wisdom from above, he first says, is characterized by purity. And this purity is a reference to the absence of sinful attitude and sinful motives. And this pleases the Lord. Also, God's wisdom is characterized by being peace-loving. It is not looking to bring up trouble. Heavenly wisdom promotes good. It promotes restoration. It promotes reconciliation. It brings calm. Okay, so already, godly wisdom is characterized by purity and peace-loving. It is also gentle. Wisdom from heaven is gentle. What does gentleness mean here? Well, it is the ability to extend to others the kindly consideration we would wish to receive ourselves. Just think about the life of Christ, who walked in perfect wisdom all the time. Think about what Jesus said about this when it comes to our relationships with one another. We find this, of course, in the Golden Rule, where we are to treat others the way we would want to be treated. God's kind of wisdom is also willing to yield, so it's submissive. It is not stubborn. It is not stiff. It is willing to listen. So in our daily lives, we have to be willing to yield and be considerate of others. This is how James characterizes wisdom from heaven. The wisdom that comes from heaven does not judge others as well. It extends mercy to all. And so there is a lot that James teaches us in these verses about what is heavenly wisdom. And he's characterized it by several different words. Now, in verse 14 to 15, we learn about earthly wisdom or human wisdom, wisdom that is from below. And so how does James characterize wisdom from below? Well, let me read to you again, verse 14 to 15. He says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So what do these verses teach us about earthly wisdom? Well, in these verses, we learn that wisdom that does not come from heaven is full of envy and selfish ambition. It is earthly, it is unspiritual, and of the devil. Already, we can see an incredible contrast between godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. It is so vastly different because it is sourced not in God. It does not begin with God, it begins with man. It is very different from true wisdom, which is the wisdom that comes from above and is godly. So if we allow our minds to guide us without seeking the Holy Spirit to help us find godly wisdom, things will not go well for us. The wisdom of the world always leaves God out. So if you're in a crisis today, if you're having trouble at home or in relationships, think about what wisdom are you allowing to guide you? Now, worldly wisdom is characterized by self-seeking. It makes people have a very extra small view of God and an extra large view of themselves. So with worldly wisdom, the focus is always about me and I. We see this lived out by people tearing others down to get even or to get ahead in life. And how sad it is, whether it's another movie actor or a politician or an athlete even, when you hear about people destroying others' lives just so that they can rise to the top and get what they want. This is selfish ambition, the fruit of earthly wisdom. But here James, remember, he is talking to people in the church. He's talking to Christ followers. And so he is aware that two types of wisdom exist in the church. And so what James is doing, he is reminding them and us that God has called us to live according to his wisdom. Get back to God's wisdom, wisdom from above. So we are to be looking at our situations, and we are to be trying to find a solution with God always, rather than apart from him. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." We are not to live by the wisdom of our culture, of our world. This wisdom will only lead to chaos, disorder, every evil practice, and ultimate ruin. The way of the world destroys lives. The way of the world destroys marriages and destroys relationships. It gets us stuck. The way of the world is opposite to the way of God. And James teaches that earthly wisdom is shown in envy and in jealousy and in bitterness. It is marked by self-seeking. And people who live like this are showing worldly wisdom. It only pleases self, not the Lord. Now, I want to read you Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 6. Because in this passage, Paul helps us understand the difference between human wisdom and godly wisdom. And in this passage, the mind of the flesh represents human wisdom, and the mind of the spirit represents godly wisdom. And God wants us to have and walk with the mind of the spirit. And you have the mind of the spirit when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because the Holy Spirit then dwells in his fullness in you, and we are called to live according to the Spirit. But listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 6. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So think about these real-life situations so that you can see the difference between human wisdom and godly wisdom. Well, human wisdom tells us to get even with people who offend us, while godly wisdom teaches us to forgive. Human wisdom says we should hoard and save our money, keeping as much as we can for ourselves. But godly wisdom says we are to be generous to others, especially the poor. Human wisdom urges us to stay away from our enemies, while godly wisdom wants us to be kind to them. Human wisdom convinces us that we need to be in control all the time, and that no one, not even God, should tell us how to live our lives. Godly wisdom, however, leads us to a life of surrender and obedience to God, that all of our hopes and plans and ambitions are to be laid at His feet as we live according to His Word. Human wisdom shouts out, "You don't need Jesus." However, godly wisdom shouts out, "Jesus, I need You. I need Your Word. I need You in my life every day." You see the difference between the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh? Think about the last time you acted or spoke out of envy or bitterness. Think about the last time you spoke out of jealousy or selfish ambition. And notice that I'm not asking you if, but when. When was the last time? You know, it is part of a fallen world, our fallen world, to be hurt by someone or frustrated when others get what we feel like we deserve. So in our passage today, James is teaching us about two types of wisdom that govern us in those situations in life. There is the wisdom of man, that is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil, full of envy and selfish ambition. Then there is the wisdom of God. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It is peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, merciful, impartial, and sincere. And again, both types of wisdom have tremendous power over our lives. The wisdom of man leads to chaos, to a wicked manner of living. Look just at how many families and relationships have been damaged and broken as a result of earthly wisdom. In contrast, the wisdom of God builds others up and demonstrates mercy and grace. In this scripture passage today from James, we see that the wisdom of God leads to righteousness. So as we close, here is the question to consider. What path of wisdom are you following today? Are you following the wisdom of God, or are you following the wisdom of man? James 4 verse 8 says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." This is how you will find true wisdom, in God. So come to Him today, ask Him for wisdom, believe and receive in Jesus' name wisdom from heaven. Let me close by saying also, your life is a witness of wisdom, and I pray that it is godly wisdom. I pray that if you know Jesus today as your Savior, that your life will be a witness of God's wisdom guiding your actions and shaping your life. May your life today point people to Jesus, who came to be the light of the world. So which wisdom will you choose? As we close, I'd like to close with one more song, followed by the Lord's Prayer. And as we sing this song, it's a little chorus called, "I Love You, Lord." And this is a song, perhaps, where you could almost commit your life again to following in God's wisdom. And it's a song where we confess our love to God, but then also recommit to following Him. Please join me as we sing, and then we will close with the Lord's Prayer. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. And may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.